Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from current research data, the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Distance Education Program, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Holly on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Now, here is Corey Holly and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, October 2004. Last month, I reviewed some of the most important health products in sports nutrition. The idea is to create a nutrition foundation first based on clinical data obtained through investigative research. I think everyone should invest in a decent blender and use protein shakes both before and after each workout. The objective is to supply the demand created by exercise and sport, and there is no better way than to sandwich each workout with high-quality protein, essential fatty acids, and antioxidant-rich carbohydrates. Hydration before, during, and after is also crucial to consider. In this segment of clinical review, I'd like to get into what I consider to be the most important factor of all, and that is human motivation. What is the key that unlocks the energy, the drive, and the incentive from within? What motivates us to get physically active and, more importantly, to stay committed to a lifetime of functional exercise and a healthy diet reinforced with natural health products? Why do only 16% of adults train semi-routinely, while less than 3% work out 3 to 5 times per week, 52 weeks a year? Ever wonder why someone you know, perhaps a close friend or a member of your own family, just doesn't seem to care? Is it because they don't understand the benefits of training? Why do they need to be convinced? Isn't the truth out there? Isn't it obvious? Perhaps they don't believe in the significance of optimum nutrition or dietary supplements as a defense against disease. Many still believe the lie that environment and lifestyle play little or no role in the disease process. Is it just plain ignorance, or do these people live in denial? How can you make someone appreciate the multiple health advantages of living logically, a concept I refer to as the science of living well? The answer is you can't. You can preach the message all you want to the ones you love, but they still have to choose and take action. They ultimately have to do the work. The prime directive of the health industry is driven by accountability. We can't plead ignorance before the law. And even if we don't know, it is still our personal responsibility to seek out the knowledge. That ability, after all, is what makes us human. Why are some people so apathetic while others appear to be highly disciplined and committed? Whatever the reason, and with very few exceptions, it boils down to choice, and that, unfortunately, is very difficult for some people to swallow. Like it or not, your body is genetically designed for physical movement and is dependent on a micronutrient-rich whole food diet. How do we know? Well, just look at what happens to a human body when it feeds on non-nutritive food and stays inactive for long periods of time. Now compare that outcome to a whole food diet and routine physical exercise. Muscles, nerves, bones, blood, and brains function far more efficiently when conditioned and supplied with optimum nutrition. This is fact, and it is impossible to refute. Exercise and proper diet requires discipline in 2004, a unique form of discipline that goes way beyond following orders without question. It's a special kind of discipline that creates order by living in obedience with lifestyle principles based on the science of wellness. In general, discipline is a very important and necessary thing. Without discipline, of course, the mind and body become soft. Live soft and you'll go down hard, slowly. Balance is the key word here. Too much discipline can rob a person of the joy of living, while no discipline at all causes erosion of mind, body, and character. Now, let's take a look at influence. Influence is a form of power which is able to produce an effect or change without apparent exertion of force or direct command. Positive influence can produce positive changes in an individual. Influence can stir the emotions and stimulate the mind through logic. Influence has to do with association. The people you work with, play with, and chum around with rub off on you. Are your friends winning in life and pursuing excellence in their own personal development? Or do they lack motivation, direction, and goals? Are they demonstrating evidence of progression and maturity? Are they showing any signs of personal evolution? Be careful how and with whom you spend your time. High energy people can lift you up and encourage you not to waste your life. The best kind of influence comes from optimistic people who exude enthusiasm and exhibit a natural talent for seeing the best in everyone and everything. They also model success with a balance of pride and humility. Knowledge. We can define knowledge as a range of accessible information. This is a condition of knowing something that's very familiar, gained through experience. It's an ability to apprehend truth or fact. Knowledge is associated with logic, numbers, and science. It is antithetic to human emotion. It's the opposite of emotion. We know, for example, that physical activity and a wholesome diet are essential to the economy and health of the human body. If you don't use it, you lose it. Loss of vitality, energy, and life is the result of long-standing inactivity and poor eating habits. So why do so many of us ignore and continue to ignore what seems to be so obvious? Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Without application, it is limp and powerless. Like a bow without a string, the arrows will never fly. This is evident by the fact that even intellectual eggheads, as I call them, who know exactly what to do, may still have zero follow-through. Thus, it is clear that simply knowing what must be done to stay well and free of degeneration through life, although essential to the process, involves more than the acquisition of knowledge alone. There is a philosophy in the message of wellness that must be embraced. State of mind. Napoleon Hill wrote a fabulous little book called Think and Grow Rich. Throughout the novel, Hill frequently alludes to one of the most important keys for successful living. We become what we think about. William James, the great American psychologist, said, "If you think in positive terms, you will get positive results, and conversely, if you think in negative terms, you will get negative results." All action is preceded by thought. Action is pulling the bow all the way back, pointing the arrow at the target, and letting go. If we set worthwhile goals and follow through with action, chances are we will accomplish these goals. On the other hand, if we think about nothing concrete and allow worry, fear, and doubt to control our thoughts, our potential to excel in life will be hindered. Our greatest limitations are those we create within our own mind. We are the captain of our own ship. We are at the helm. If we're not, then who is? If we decide not to work out, eat better, or get into shape, so be it. But this decision is not based on a rationale of logic or science. How can it be? Functional medicine is based on a scientific paradigm of health and healing. It's designed to extend our health span, compress morbidity, and save life, not destroy it. So if we're working against the science, against the logic, then we have to look at our emotional state. Negative emotions can play a powerful role in our decision-making process. Often, they are more an expression of how we feel about ourselves and how we define our purpose in life. Each one of us must find the courage not to conform to convention, to the wrong percentage group that is failing or suffering needlessly. Think clearly about your goals and share them with positive people who will support and encourage you. Be cautious not to seek approval from the wrong people. In his book, Heavy Duty One, author and pro bodybuilder Mike Mentzner describes motivation in terms of value. He explains that value is that which we strive to gain or maintain, and that motivation, which is the inner drive that causes us to take action, is fueled by our desire to keep or gain a certain value. Mentzner, who sadly passed away recently, believed that to stay motivated, one must learn to crush negative thought patterns by consciously choosing to focus on the positive outcome of a perceived experience. The key is to achieve mental and emotional harmony by reminding ourselves of the value of the pursuit, and to utilize both our gifts of rationality and the ability to conceptualize. If we study the facts, understand and accept our genetic limitations, avoid the misuse of negative thinking, and set realistic short-range goals, it is possible to stay committed to a lifelong fitness and training endeavor. Abraham Maslow, who wrote Motivation and Personality in 1954, was an American psychologist and philosopher. He felt that everyone functions from a hierarchy of needs pattern, which ranges from basic physiological requirements to love, esteem, and self-actualization. The needs at one level must be at least partially obtained before those at the next level can function as motives to action. For example, food, shelter, and safety are more important for survival than artistic desires. In societies where people struggle for life's basic necessities, scientific and contemplative habits seldom flourish. Maslow believed that truly healthy people seek to satisfy their highest psychological needs and were self-actualizers, fully integrating the components of their personality or self. On the other hand, Sigmund Freud believed that most of our actions are determined by inner forces and impulses, which often originate from the subconscious level. Still, other experts think our behavior is learned by exposure to the environment, that what we see and experience ultimately dictates our habits of motion. Anthony Robbins feels that each one of us is motivated to action by our desire to gain pleasure or to avoid pain. His books and 30-Day Personal Power audio program describe this concept in detail. My own theory includes a synthesis of all of the above, plus one which is seldom, if ever, considered. For nearly 100 years now, our society has been living on a highly refined processed diet. When you compare the amount of sugar and chemically altered fats we currently eat to what we did a century ago, the statistics are mind-boggling. If you can't build a healthy, fit body on junk, then how can you build a healthy mind? Our gene pool has been corrupted now for over four generations. That's enough time to cause a serious amount of damage. Lack of motivation is a form of mental illness, in fact, a type of depression. I believe that it's not only intimately connected with our self-esteem and emotions, but also a function of nutritional biochemistry. In the same way that cartilage and bone are affected by mineral supply, I think our brain, which houses our mind, is enormously sensitive to the presence or absence of essential fatty acids, eicosanoids, neurotransmitters, amino acids, and fluctuating levels of nutrients in our blood. By controlling our diet and consuming optimum quantities of the correct raw materials, we can definitely change our mental outlook. Of course, the motivation to move your body has a lot to do with the simple process of burning fuel in your combustion chambers. Eat the wrong stuff at the wrong time and you'll crash. Unless the food is delivered with precision and a sense of purpose beyond just filling your gut or satisfying your palate, it's hard to stay well in the game for life and really enjoy the process. Motivation is a critical factor. It's what keeps us going when everything looks grim, when the rest give up and quit. Behavior therapists believe that motivation cannot exist without a goal. The more strongly one feels about achieving a specific goal, the more apt they are able to achieve it. Three factors influence motivation in this regard. One, clarity of vision. Two, ferocity of intent or degree of wanting. And three, the ability to break down our major long-term goals into smaller tasks that are easier to achieve. The incentive to achieve, to pursue excellence, and to realize our fullest potential is both a function of mind and body. To get motivated, focus on the benefits. How will you look and feel when you achieve your goal? To stay motivated, read books, listen to educational audio programs, and watch motivational videos. Design a high-quality supplement program and eat as much whole, poison-free organic food as possible. Learn to model other successful people and don't strive for perfection. It doesn't exist. Strive for improvement day by day. Strive for progress. Become the person you were meant to be. Evolve forward. Take a stride, a single stride, day by day towards the thing that you want to do and make yourself more complete by the completion of your life's process. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from yours truly. Desire is born of the spirit. It is felt by the heart and obeyed by the mind, which then commands the body into action. You cannot buy, swallow, inject, download, or borrow desire. No one can give it to you. You either have it or you don't.